Corinthians 12, as we'll look at that last section in 12 to 31 today. We continue our series, The Triumphant Church, as we continue looking at 1 Corinthians 12 and the importance of spiritual gifts. Before we start to, as I said, look at our new series starting next Sunday on God's love in that famous chapter 13, the love chapter. And Paul remembers applying the truths of the wisdom of the cross in Corinthians and the need for Christ-like love and sacrifice and service as we grow together in the church community. And the focus of these chapters is on the impact of the truths of Christ's death on the cross and to the Christian community and who we are as the church, Christ's body of believers saved by His grace and brought together to grow in love and to present a witness of God's wisdom to the world around us. In other words, Paul is going to show us the ministry we have together as we use our gifts in the church community. And then in chapter 13, he's going to show us essentially the motivation that must be behind that ministry, and that is the love of God in Christ. But the goal is the mission of being the community of Christ with Christ-like love and humility as we each use our gifts and serve, and it's countercultural. It reveals the opposite of the pride and the self-centeredness and the conceit of the world around us. See, the problem was in the Corinthian church, they were beginning to look a lot more like the wisdom of the world. It's wisdom in their worship, relationships, community. They were backbiting, we've seen, and dividing into groups and competitive and arrogant. And when it came to spiritual gifts, certain ones who had certain gifts, especially the more spectacular, miraculous gifts, like tongues and others, were looking down in Corinth on the ones who didn't have those gifts. He'll deal more with that in chapter 14 later. The corrective Paul started to give last Sunday in verses 1 to 11 is that we first of all start with the grace of God. Everything comes from God. Every gift, we have no reason to boast. And then we serve for the common good. We're to build up the body. And so we stay focused on God in doing that. It's, you know, if you like to do puzzles, I don't know if you like to do, not the easy puzzles, but have those 1,000 or 2,000 piece puzzles. I remember one time we joined together as a family years ago on a holiday doing a massive puzzle. And certainly it'll help a bit. I've never been good at those things. It'll help a bit to get the corners right and you're trying to put the pieces together, but many times it just seems like it's hard to figure out how those pieces fit together, how it connects. And sometimes we feel that way, don't we, about the church, about our own lives. How do we fit? Where do I fit in? How do I serve? What do I do? Why do I matter? What is my gifting? What is my niche? And how do we fit together? How do I serve and complement with these other people? Or it might even be in your marriage or relationships, but especially in the church. 1 Corinthians 12 is about the beauty of the picture God brings together as we come to Christ through faith, grow in grace in Him, and begin to serve and figure out as we use our different gifts our part of the puzzle and the picture. Though we can feel at times that we are an unwanted piece that doesn't fit in of the puzzle, or we can start to look at the other pieces and think, well, that must go with another puzzle, you know? I mean, how do they fit into the church? They, you know, and we don't get to know them and they're left out. The reality is, just as those pieces in that puzzle we put together were designed to fit together, so has God done that in the church, with our gifts, with the way we serve. And there is one God who's designed us uniquely, gifting us in each in unique ways as we serve, as we teach, as we lead, as we give, as we show mercy, and use our skills and personalities all for the building up of the church and God's glory. See, you're not going to find your purpose and identity. You're not going to know your purpose by trying to kind of subtly do it out on your own and be what we'd say a Lone Ranger Christian. By doing things individually, by saying, well, you know, I'll just keep to myself, you know, and maybe I'll go to church some, or maybe I'll, do that, but I'm not going to get involved. I'm not going to be connected with other Christians in service. Really, the reality is Christians find frustration in doing that ultimately in their lives. But the point is, we need Christ most of all. He is the head of the body, His church. But what Paul is saying here is we all need each other. God has made it that way. Someone said interdependence is built in to the church. God designed it that way. Instead of the world's idea of independence, God makes us interdependent. All of us have different gifts, and the body is only going to flourish, meaning the church, to the extent that all of us use our different gifts and learn that and grow in that for the benefit of the whole. That's how the human body works, Paul say. And that, can you think of a better picture of unity and diversity together than your human body? But Paul's saying that's the way the church is meant to be. It is vital that we value what God has given each of us and given other Christians. No, I'm not saying we say, well, wow, I am important. You know, whoa, I'm glad they've got me on their team. You know, it's good they've got me. You know, no, I'm not saying that. Of course not. But we realize more and more God has called us to serve in unique ways and with gifts He's given us that matter. And if we don't use those gifts, others lose out on it. And we don't grow as we should. And the more you serve in that way, the more you experience what God's called you to do. And sometimes we are guilty in the church of trying to put a square peg in a round hole. And sometimes we do have to serve in ways that maybe we're not called to do for a time. But we're ultimately to have a primary focus that we grow in. And it matters that we look at other parts of the puzzle and we don't think, well, you know, well, they, how do they fit in? You know, they're different from me. I don't see it their way. I don't see what they see as important. We've got to be careful with that. No, I value them because God has called them, saved them, gifted them in the way He wants them to be. And the more we value every part of the puzzle and person in God's church, the more we're going to grow in Christ-likeness, humility, and be that picture that God wants to give that is countercultural to the world around us. So that's what we're going to talk about. I mean, think about it. As one man said, the simple process of your human body digesting food, just eating, digesting, how many parts are involved just in doing that for you to get the nourishment? And the body is a unit like that that's only going to grow, the human body, through those different functions. And that's the way the church is to be as well. The point is, everything we have, each of our abilities and gifts, comes from God alone. We saw it last week. So we have no right to boast, but instead we're to use our gifts and build up the body of church around us. So today, what is Paul getting at in this picture of the human body? Well, Paul says every believer belongs. No one should belittle other believers or think that they don't matter and boycott being a part of the body and serving because they feel their gifts don't matter as much. You know, when you've got a group of people that Corinth was, they were like this. They were got some that were kind of inflating themselves. Well, we're so great because by deflating other Christians, well, they're not as important. Looking down on them. And what happens is you have an imbalance. Kind of like when you have car tires that have different amounts of air in them. And the car is out of balance. And that's the way the church can get. It's what was happening in the Corinthian church. And they were a church so caught up in who had what gift and who had the better gifts that they were looking down on others and that didn't have those gifts and didn't see it their way. And they were looking like the world. They were living with the world's idea of selfishness and using people and what do I get out of people and who does the better, more popular things. And they were not looking like Christ and His wisdom. And that's why Paul writes to them, so that God would help them to see the beauty of what He alone can do by His grace as we each grow in grace and know our place serving in the way God's called us to. Remember when you have those pictures, I don't see as much anymore, when you had put your face like on holiday in this thing, a frame, like a statue frame kind of thing, and your face is in it, you know, and it doesn't match the body, you know. It's the body of a muscle man or a cowboy or a clown, whatever it is. And, you know, you take that picture and it's funny, you know, because your head doesn't match the way the rest of the body looks. You know, if you could picture Christ and His love, what Corinthians is about, His sacrifice coming through the cross, and then you picture Him as the head and us as our church body, the community, what would people say?
Would they say, "Wow, that's hilarious. That doesn't match"? Or would they say, "Hey, you know, you can see how he is the head is affecting that local church body"? What we realize is that we can never grow in the Christian life alone. We can never make an impact alone. We'll never find God's purpose trying to operate outside of the body of Christ, like a hand disconnected from the body. It dies. The point is, though, the body of Christ, as Paul's saying here, is one unit, like a human body. And a part of your body can't opt out because it doesn't feel like it's a part of the body, Paul says, and just say, "Hey, well, I'm not going to be a part of it." Though we are one, we operate as one. What is Paul saying? The body, like the human body, the church body, has great diversity. Everyone is unique. Toes are not like ears. Eyes are not like elbows. The body would not work if it was made up of 50 elbows or 25 ears. But the differences in the human body, just like the church, don't hinder the unity or the ability to function together. No, those differences, just like the human body, are absolutely essential to the unity. As the human body doesn't have unity in spite of its great diversity of parts, but because of that great diversity as a unit, so it is to be with the church. Someone said oneness is only possible because of manyness. Paul is demonstrating, as one man says, that diversity of gifts in no way threatens the unity of the church, but actually enhances it, promotes it. And there's no greater example, perhaps, than the human body of that. So we're one, but we're different. And that is absolutely essential to the beauty of the body, its power, its strength. Someone said their division in Corinth was not due to the diversity of gifts, but their attitude towards each other and within that diversity. It was a lack of humility, a lack of Christ-likeness. That was the problem. It was their attitude. Not that they were diverse in gifts, but how they viewed it. And that's what Paul's getting at. They didn't have the wisdom of the cross at the heart of the church. They were self-centered and worldly. Look at 12. For as one body is, the body is one and many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. Verse 14, for in fact the body is not one member, but many. See, part of what Paul's getting at here is why we have unity. Ultimate unity is in the fact that Christians, every single Christian, has received Christ as Savior, and in that are baptized into the Spirit and baptized into the body through the Holy Spirit. And that's where our essential unity as Christians is found. The real source of our unity is our common ultimate spiritual experience of being saved, receiving Christ, and being baptized into the Spirit, as we then all drink from the same Spirit in a spiritual sense. So there's no reason to be concerned about diversity of gifts and how that would fracture our unity, because our unity ultimately lays in a greater thing. And that's the common experience we have together of being put into the body of Christ as we receive Christ through the Spirit. The point is, our unity is not in our different gifts, but in our great God who saved us through Christ, putting us in Him together, all baptized in Him, and who lives in each one of us as we each drink from the same Spirit. So our unity as believers is based on that ultimate reality of what Christ has done. Nothing can change that. We have that ultimate thing in common from all of our backgrounds and all of our differences and different gifting. So baptism is essentially what Paul's getting at here, showing our change in identity. That when you trust Jesus alone to save you, you are a new creation in Him, connected in Him, baptized in Him, and connected to the entire body of believers. One in Him. You become one with Christ and one with your brothers and sisters. And what it means is that we need Christ most of all, but we also, again, need one another. God has designed it that way, spreading the gifts out to different members. No one has all of the gifts. We all need one another. We're interdependent.
And what it means is that we all have to pull our weight and do the things for things to really work. All the unique things God's called us to do. Knowing our different roles and appreciating those roles in others.
So what Paul's going to do, and we're going to deal with here just a bit, is the dangers and traps that we can fall into, a few of those, when it comes to the body of Christ. We want to know our gift. I hope you want to know how God's called you, gifted you, and how you operate in the body, especially in this local body, but the whole church. Well, there's some dangers you can fall into when it comes to using your gifts and serving in the body of Christ. These are some truths of how we view ourselves, how we view others, how we view Christ, most of all. Verses 15 to 19, look at that. How do you see yourself? And the application, and you see that on the outline there, how do you see yourself, is the application is apply your gifts. Apply your gifts in the body. And the negative to avoid is don't despise your place in the body of Christ. We've got to avoid what's called the inferiority complex that some Christians get into. The false humility that's really seems humble, but it's prideful. It's a false humility, looking down and saying, oh, woe is me, what can I do? Here Paul seems to be addressing the members who felt they were less important than the other Christians because they didn't have certain gifts. There were those who had spectacular gifts and perhaps put the others down and looked down on them. And they felt, well, what can I do? And someone said, with their emphasis on certain gifts, it is likely some of them who didn't have those gifts were inclined and maybe encouraged by the others to feel very inferior. And this could in turn to lead to envy, discontent, division in the body. And today there are many, wouldn't you say, who can feel like, well, what do I have to bring? What can I do? They feel what they can do and their gifts don't matter as much. They feel those gifts are inferior. They imagine that they have little to contribute. Others are more gifted. Others are more spiritual. And there's only a short step from that idea to starting to think wrongly, well, I don't belong. Like Paul's saying here with the human body, drifting from the fellowship, disconnected. And it causes division. And when that person is missing, actually they don't realize it. It's hurting the whole body. I read about a Christian lady who suffered from depression, but she's actually a very godly older lady, and she often felt worthless about what she did because her gifts were not as visible. She would say, well, I'm useless. She'd tell her pastor or elders, what good am I for in the church? But her pastor would comment on how no one would really know how much they benefited just for one from her prayerfulness, her continued praying. They wouldn't know this side of heaven how God used that. And so many people also were encouraged by her frequent words of wisdom and example of godliness and faith in her trials. Because her gifts weren't visible, she felt weak. But they were actually used powerfully by God. God made us and gifted us as we are to be used for His glory, to show the love of Christ in many different ways, who Jesus is as we each use our gifts. And because of that, we're never to say, hey, we might think we're not valuable, but we are. It doesn't mean it's true because we think it. Paul uses the example here of ears who think, well, I'm not an eye, so why do I matter? How am I part of the body? Or feet who think, well, I'm not a hand. Paul says, ludicrous. Think about your human body, Paul's saying. If you're to take away some organ or some part of the body, especially certain things, things are not going to function normally, are they? Or maybe at all. And this is the way it is in the body of Christ, whether we get it or not. Each person with their gifts and what they are given by God in grace as they serve is crucial to the whole body functioning and experiencing the fullness of what Christ has given us. We need to understand that. An eye, someone said, is an important part of the body, yes, but it still needs all the other parts. And we need each other if we're going to grow in Christ. God designed things so that what you're gifted in specifically, no matter what other Christians think, or how visible or not visible that gift is, or how important the world might say it is or that it's not, it matters to God. It matters to the body of Christ that we grow together as we use all of our gifts in the body of Christ out of His love, revealing a fullness of who Jesus Christ is.
Now, the fact is, we all have to be willing to serve, you know, in different ways, sometimes in ways that we don't feel gifted in. I know that. But there is a primary focus, I believe, that everybody in the body is meant to have. And sometimes, like I said, I think we try to put a square peg in a round hole and force things. But it's important, I believe, this teaching shows us that we each begin to understand the unique role God wants us to have in the local body and use our gifts for the church to really experience the fullness of what Christ has given us and for us to grow. Just look at the Ephesians 4 passage and you see it. This is Paul's point here. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? The point is, not for the foot to try to be like a hand. So, you know, you see some people in the world like this, right? They've lost their feet, their hands, they use different parts of their body to do what the others do. It's amazing, but the church isn't meant to be like that. The foot and ear cannot perform, of course, the complicated functions of an eye or a hand. But where would the body be without those parts? God has put every part, Paul says, where He wants it. If everyone got to be, if we could imagine everybody got to be the one they wanted to be in the church, be the part, don't you think a lot of things would get left undone? A lot of what God wants to do would be left undone. Everyone is needed. No one should feel inferior about their gifts. I remember seeing this man years ago on TV who had run a marathon on his two hands and his arms, and muscular built arms, because he lost his legs and everything at some point. He ran that marathon. It was a spectacular thing, and he had been able to do all of that on his hands. I'm sure you've seen people who can walk on their hands and use different parts for things that weren't meant for that part. But, you know, it's not normal, right, for the way for the body to function that way. And sometimes, though, the church can be like that, where you've got hands trying to do, you know, the part of the feet and their part. And it's not really what the church is meant to be. The foot is meant to function in the whole of the body as a foot, not trying to be like the hand. It has to work with the hands. Servants have to work with those who are teaching and leading and all these things, but it has to focus on its role in the body. The ear is not to try and be like the eye, be envious of the eye, compare itself to the eye. Every part has a unique contribution. No one can be the whole body. Paul says that's what makes the body the body. Made of many parts. He said, verse 17, the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? The sense of hearing. If the whole body were hearing, he's using humor here. Where would the smelling be? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? This means God has gifted you the way He wants you to be, and you're only going to discover that in the unity of operating with your gifts and the diversity of gifts in the body. A hand cut off from the body is not going to function. It dies, right? But when that hand is intimately connected to the arm and the whole body, the hand works in such an incredible way as a part of the body. So is the church. This is where you find your purpose. Valuing, first of all, what God has given you and using it in humility and love and gratitude in the context of serving other Christians with your gifts. Someone said, some are deceived about their importance. They say, well, I'm not equipped to be a pastor, a teacher, a leader. I'll just sit back, essentially. That's that false humility. I just won't do anything. What do I matter? But someone said, can you visit shut-ins? Hospital patients, can you lend a listening ear to someone who's hurting in the body of Christ? Open up your home for a neighborhood Bible study? Thinking about, remember that analogy I used last week of the animal school? If you're a duck, you might not remember that, but if you're a duck, then you swim, you quack. If you're a rabbit, you run. If you're a squirrel, you climb. In other words, look at the body of Christ. If you're a hand, you reach out and touch. Maybe you're one of those who's hands-on, who serves, who gives, and you need to do that. If you're an eye, maybe you're part of the seeing what's going on and seeing what's happening in the world, and you need to do that. You need to be discerning. If you're a brain and you're intelligent and you're able to teach, and you need to stop trying to be like the feet maybe so much, or be envious, or if you're the feet, envious of the other people.
Use what God's given you. Ask Him to help you to do that for His glory. And stop trying to be like everybody else and comparing. Apply your gifts more and more to what God's called you to do.
You know, you think about the body. You can avoid wearing shorts because you don't want to show your legs. Some people do that. But you still got legs. The legs are still important no matter what you think they look like.
The body is not one giant face or a pair of arms or guns, you know, that shows off just in those presentable parts.
The body is not just the mouth. Can you imagine a body just with a mouth? Well, that's just, if it's just a preacher, it's just a mouth.
The body is one unit made of many members. And if everything was an eye, where would the hearing be? If everything was an ear, where would the smelling be? Paul's dealing again with the danger of despising your place in the church body. There's always that danger of comparing ourselves to others. Well, I wish I had their ability. I wish I could talk like they talk. I wish I could socialize like they do. Or I had their charisma. Or I had their understanding. Or their knowledge. But God saved you and gifted you in Christ to serve how He's made you and blend you together into the whole picture. So the church can't function as a body, as it is meant to be, if every part is alike.
The body can't do what God designs it to as the body of Christ if all you can do is see, if all you can do is hear, if there's just certain parts operating.
I love what one man said. He said, if you ever wanted someone else, what someone else had, only to feel, you then have a greater sense of fitting in. Probably all have been like that, haven't we? Wish you had someone's looks or intelligence or people skills or business skills, whatever it is, but we're all unique.
Imagine how a foot must feel. Not a particularly beautiful part of the body. That's why I like to keep mine covered.
You know, maybe a foot wants to be a hand secretly. Well then, you know, but think about it. What's going to be more unbalanced? A body without a hand or a body without a foot?
What if an ear, you know, starts to think, I wish I was an eye. Eyes are so beautiful, you know, so many colors. They draw you in.
But think about it. About the only time the ear might think that people notice me is when they point out how big I am. You know, some people feel like that. If any part would have a legitimate gripe about that, it might be the ear. The ear is so close to the eye, but the notice is usually only when people see the size of it or something. You know, we cover them.
When's the last time somebody commented on how lovely your ears look?
But the ears matter, don't they? Can you imagine a body without the ear? And think of all the different parts of the ear. All those parts matter.
This is Paul's point. We can't imagine a human body that is one big eye, one big ear, one leg hopping around, like the Adams family, the hand that was walking around on its own. It's weird, you know?
If there are just teachers and people who encourage in certain things, and there aren't servants or helpers, someone said, you don't have a church or a body, you've got a madhouse. Wilson said, if you were all eye and all hand, you wouldn't be a body, you'd be a freak show.
But why do we look at the church like that sometimes?
I read this made-up story about a person who consisted simply of a massive eye. And he had 20/20 vision, but was completely ineffective because he was unable to do anything about what he saw. But it makes the point. It's the combination of all the different points together that makes the bodies work.
As someone said, bodies and churches only thrive when the full range of the members is recognized, released, and celebrated. So we have to think about that, don't we?
Can you imagine your hands and your body complaining to your arms, I don't need you?
I mean, does the liver ever say, well, I wish I got more recognition for what I'm doing?
No.
But in the body of Christ, we see that, and we need each other.
How about the second thing here, 2026? How do you see others? How do you see yourself, but how do you see others, Paul says? The application is we accept others' place in the body. This is the second danger. The negative to avoid is don't despise the place of others in the church body. Avoid the superiority complex as well as inferiority complex. Avoid pride, conceit. See, the first danger deals with false humility. We despise our own gifts. We compare ourselves to others. But this danger deals with our pride. can see, looking down on others, thinking somehow the things we care about, the gifts God's given us in the church, they're more important. It's a subtle thing often, but we start to kind of think what we believe and what we're doing is more important. We have to watch out. We start looking down on others. And the mistake, again, is that of comparing yourself with others. But in one situation, it leads to discouragement, point one. In this one, it leads to pride, complacency. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or the head to the feet, I have no need of you. That's what was happening in Corinth, and it happens today. More gifted believers were probably those with the more spectacular gifts, they thought, you know, and that put them in the limelight. They became the well-known personalities in the church of Corinth. They were out front, and they started to get arrogant. And they started to not think about how they needed the other Christians. And sometimes today Christians can get inflated, even subtly, about their own gifts and what they think is most important in the church, and overlook how others are serving, others are essential. And Christians can ignore the importance of the other areas that Christians are serving in and not encourage them and not get to know them and build into their lives where they're gifted. See, if that believer is gifted in serving and helping and doing things behind the scenes, we have to say, well, what are we doing to encourage them? Maybe they're not gifted in the things we're doing and teaching and leading or other things, but we've got to be careful we don't start to neglect and love the rest of the body. Like an eye thinking, you know, it no longer needs the hand until it gets an eyelash stuck in its eye. Richard Pratt tells of taking his computer to be worked on, and what was broken in the computer was one of the smallest pieces you can imagine. And the technician drew a picture of the defective part, and it was so small, he just drew this tiny circle around this little part. And then the guy told Pratt how much it cost. And Pratt said, that's more than my whole computer. And the guy said, yeah, it's expensive, but it's vital to the computer. It will not work without that piece. So, apparent strength, as someone said, is not the indicator of true significance. Look at verse 22. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor. And the unpresentable parts have greater modesty, 24, but our presentable parts have no need. So, just because, and Paul's talking here about vital organs, other parts of the body that we cover, just because those body parts are less attractive and we don't see them or they have to be clothed, doesn't mean they're less valuable. In fact, they may be more vital. The unattractive parts, when adorned, someone said, fit well with the parts that need no dressing. So that there's unity, so that there's mutual love and concern for the whole body, so that the world sees around us what's different about us as Christians. God's given us grace and spread the gifts amongst all of us, and all the parts matter, and we know they matter, and we love one another, and we're different. We love those who are different when the world doesn't do that. And we know everyone, and we grow in Christ, and we know everyone matters. Verse 22, see, we need to remember the need to give honor to all the parts. It says the unpresentable parts or weaker parts only appear to be to others to be weaker, but we know in the church that they're essential. And we need to remember the truly indispensable parts are often the parts that we lose sight of, that we don't think about. You know, like I said earlier, you know, it's obvious you've got a hand or you've got a leg or you've got a nose. But what about the liver? You know, you don't see it. But you could live without a hand. I wouldn't like to because of sport and basketball. But you could live without it. But you can't live without a liver. So don't go, you know, looks can be deceiving. And it can be that way, Paul's saying, in the church. When there's prayer warriors, when there's servants, when everybody needs to use their gifts and we need to encourage one another in that because we grow only together. In the body of Christ. My hand can't criticize my big toe, because it doesn't grasp. Because if my big toe's gone, I'll fall flat on my face. I read about this athlete one time who was going to be a professional. Great speed and agility, but he would have had a summer camp. He lost part of his big toe in this freak accident, and it ended his career. Because he could no longer, without that big toe, do what he was able to do. See, the church has a lot of big toes that often, unfortunately, get taken for granted. And nothing is insignificant in the church. And so we're not to look down on those parts. We're not to think about others in that way. We're to think about them the way God wants us to. How do we see others? We don't belittle them. We don't put them down. We're to try to build them up and be sensitive to them and be loving and honoring to them, because looks can be deceiving. I mean, where would the church be without its servants, prayer warriors, without organizers, without givers, without those who show mercy to the hurting? It wouldn't be able to function. So we need to get involved in community. That's what Paul's saying here, verse 24, 25. When one part of the body suffers, the whole thing hurts. And that's the way the church is to operate. You know, when you got a part of your body that, say, your arm goes out for a while, your leg, well, the rest of the body doesn't say, well, leg, you should have thought about what you were doing. No, it compensates for it, doesn't it? And we're to be that way in the church. When one part suffers, the whole thing suffers. When one part rejoices, the whole part rejoices together. You see that there? There should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care for one another. I remember being at Bremer Bay years back in the shallows of the water, about to pick up a ball, and I guess my oldest didn't feel at the time I was wet enough. And I didn't see him coming, and he gave me a really good push, and I didn't really, there was a rock right in front of me, and I hit my toe. And I won't tell you the whole story, but it didn't feel very good. And there weren't many people on the beach, thankfully, but, you know, it wasn't like my toe just on its own said, oh, wow, that hurts. No, the whole, everything in me, you know, it hurt. And I shouted, you know. I don't remember what I said, but, you know, it didn't feel good. And, you know, this is the way the body works, our human body. Well, Paul's saying the church is to be like this. No matter what the part is or how small we may think it is, we're to grow together in mutual love and concern for one another as Christians. And we give ourselves in love and service also in this. This is what we're getting at, to say that when we use our gifts, each of us, we're showing the love and humility of Jesus Christ and the cross, the message of Corinthians, to show that what we believe, God has done something different in the church. He's flipped things upside down through the wisdom of the cross. And as we each depend on God and love and serve, and then use our gifts together, being interdependent, seeing each other and ourselves rightly, well, then the love of Jesus Christ and the humility of Christ is expressed in the church community for the rest of the community more and more. So, we in the church, we care about the types of people that often the world overlooks. That's what Paul's getting at here. We know God's given them grace too, and we need them, and we love them. And yeah, they might have to be honored more or protected more, like our human body in certain parts, but we know they're important and we love them. And so there's this beautiful picture God is building as we grow together in mutual love and using our gifts. And finally, quickly, as we look at how do you see Christ, this is important, but those last verses, we need to ask for Christ's strength continually to work together. We don't want to despise what God has done in Christ and what He's continuing to do through the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, that's what Paul, I think, is getting at here. If you look at verse 27, you're the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third, teachers, after that, miracles and healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all prophets, all teachers, servants, are all administrators, etc.? The answer, Paul's saying to all of those, is what? He's driving on what he's already said. No, they're not all that. God has spread it all out. God has appointed these different areas of service. And we don't have time to look at all of these. Or others mentioned, but like I said, we're going to do a study in a spiritual gift seminar in November where we will break all of those down and look at it more in depth. So I encourage you to sign up for that. But just as God put your human body together to be connected and depend on each other, we're to work together knowing God's uniquely gifted us with these gifts to love and serve. And Paul is driving home finally here that with these gifts, starting with God's word and wisdom and ending with the gifts of healings that the Corinthians got so focused on, and miracles and tongues, and everything in between. Interesting, he throws in the servants, the support gifts, the helpers, the administrators. Literally it means guiding leaders. All are appointed by God. And Paul puts to rest the idea that there are certain gifts that every Christian ought to get. No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. No.
God has designed it this way that we'll continually look to Him together for strength, depending on Him, looking to Him for His love to change us and work through us, looking also how He's working, what He's done in Jesus, how He's working through the Spirit now in our lives, but other Christians around us. How do we see what Christ has done in the cross and what He's doing now to work through us in love and humility? I believe that's what Paul's getting at here. Regardless of what gift or gifts God has given you, He spread them all out, and we have to continue to look to His supply, His strength, His love. Did you get where He's going with this? As we seek to serve Him. Look at verse 31 as we close. Earnestly desire the best gifts, the greatest gifts, and I'll show you a more excellent way. That's why we're going to spend time. It fits well, I think, with Christmas as well. And we're in it now. But we're going to look at in depth our motivation for service in the body, which can only be the love of God, the agape, sacrificial love of God in Jesus Christ that we have to continually look to God for, each of us, as we serve together in the body of Christ. Let's close in prayer. Gracious Lord, we come before You thankful that You have saved us by grace and through this message of Christ who came and lived humbly and perfectly and who died on the cross for us, who was crucified and who was buried and rose. And Lord, we know that You live through us now through the Holy Spirit. We thank You that You're at work in us, in the body of Christ. We are spiritually and intimately connected to You in Christ through the Holy Spirit, as Paul says, and to one another. Lord, help us to each know what You've called us to do and to serve and love. Lord, to examine the gifts and experiment and exercise our gifts. And Lord, to know that all of us matter, Lord, and are saved by You and gifted by You. And Lord, may we just grow up in knowing that great love and having a humble attitude about it, becoming like Christ as we're interdependent and we serve one another. We love You and thank You and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.